No.
Blog Talk Radio.
Runaway Girl. That was Daryl Hall and Dave Stewart from Live at Daryl's House, and that was about a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago or so.
The great Daryl.
Dreamtime by Daryl Hall. Mm. Not a Hall and Oates song. It was a Daryl solo.
Am I there? Am I good?
Lee, you are on. You're good.
I am on. Yeah, Daryl. So there's a show at the Ravinia coming up soon, and you want to be going to it. There we are.
It's at the Ravinia in June. Yeah.
June,
so,
yeah.
Actually, what I'm going to do, we're shorthanded today.
Be
we're
a Matthew
missing
Aaron show field trip, maybe.
Yeah, well, if you haven't noticed, yeah, it will be. I'm going to have to cajole, as you said, all of you to go. Not everyone wants. You know, Daryl Hall, I have called you, I have emailed you, I have asked you over and over how many times to come on my show. What's it going to take, Daryl? Really? What is it going to take? Money? Because I don't got it. Sex? Because I don't got it.
I have sex.
Lee's got it.
Yeah.
And he's got pitas.
Yeah.
That's what the Greeks are good with.
We use that instead of a condom.
So, Lee, as you may notice, we're missing one of our producers tonight who happens to be at his brother's graduation. To that I say lame, but whatever. Producer Adam is missing. So I got to do the soundboard. I got to do the mix board. I got to do the computer.
You thought you were going to have to do my voice, too.
No, well, I had that prepared. I was going to replace you with John Griffin.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to call Horatio and Patrick right now.
Okay.
We're going to talk about our show from Saturday night.
I want to hear all about it.
I'm sure you do. I'll have some clips from it next week. I wanted to give them exclusive for Hobag. I wanted to give them the exclusive rights to my killer stand-up act for 1 week only.
Mm.
So I'm going to call Horatio first. We're going to talk to Mr. Horatio Ramirez.
With the H.
I'm pretty sure that's how they do everything.
Horatio.
Well, you got to have...
Hello.
Horatio.
Hello,
Ramirez.
Horatio. Hello.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm going to call Pat Bagden right now. So you ready?
All right. Bring him on.
I'm bringing him on. Lee, say hello to Horatio, by
hello,
the way.
Hello, Horatio, and hello, everybody. My name's Lee Capreas.
Horatio, do you got your radio on? Are you listening to Hall & Oates when you should be listening to us?
Well, I'm in the car radio. I can't really pick you guys up in the car.
Okay. Maneater is such an irresistible song. I mean, if you're listening to them, that's okay.
I like Dreamtime.
Yeah.
Hello.
Patrick Bagnon.
Matthew Aaron. How's it going,
so,
man?
So here we are. Lee Capreas sitting next to me.
Hi.
Patrick Bagnon and Horatio Ramirez. It is the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
So is there any kind of language restriction on your fucking show here, cunt?
No, no language restriction, though. Thanks for the C-word drop.
Right.
That only took 6 minutes into the show. Daryl Hall did not drop the C-word, but
no.
Patrick Bagnon did.
No.
If you had Oates on, he would have said cunt.
Oh, John Oates? Yeah. Well, I'm not going to go there.
John doesn't give a fuck.
So, Horatio, Pat, I brought you on the show because I wanted to talk about our hit stand-up act we did on Saturday. It was myself, Horatio Ramirez, Patrick Bagnon, and Alex the Angry Comic, because he is angry. Yeah, no, I got
yeah.
it.
He needed
he's,
to
he's gotten even angrier ever since he got married.
Yeah.
Of course.
So, fellas, what did you think of the show? Ronnie says he's checking his schedule and looking to book us again soon.
That'd be great. I honestly, Matt, I think that was the best set I've ever seen you do. And I've seen you do probably about 5 or 6 times personally. That's the best set I've ever seen you do.
Now I'm really sorry I missed it.
Thank you very much, Pat. I
didn't say it was good. I just
no,
said
no,
it was
no,
best
no,
to see
no,
you do.
But I can do, right.
Chooses his words very carefully.
Well, I told Horatio on Saturday, because him and Ben Tedder also told me it was a great set, and I just don't believe anyone ever. I just think it's all Hollywood.
That was good.
You know?
Yeah, you're the worst
if you would have listened to the
Hoback
show, you could have heard it.
What was that, Horatio?
No, you were, like, seriously terrible at taking compliments. Like, we were both, Ben Tedder and I, were both, like, sincere. Like, hey, dude, that was really good. Hey, whatever. Doesn't matter.
When you're a depressed, terrible, rotten talk show host wannabe human being, compliments don't come your way fast and furious.
I mean, we were both being genuine in our compliments. We were both being genuine in our compliments. I mean, we know you're broke, so we know you have no money to offer us.
They know you have nothing. They were being sincere.
Hey, I got connections to someone's grass cutter for the stars, as Pat Bagnon likes to say.
I think Patrick said that was Carlos Mencia's plumber.
Yeah, Pat, who's my guest this week?
I don't know. It's going to be the guy who shaves Colin Quinn's asshole, I think.
Hey, that's an all-day job. I don't know if I could get him. He doesn't have that much time.
And a guy who's heard of Milton Berle.
Milton Berle.
Exactly.
A guy who heard of Milton Berle. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I want to say, Pat and Horatio also did very good sets. And you can listen to their sets on the Hobag podcast. I listened to it yesterday. You know, I hate hearing the sound of my voice, but you couldn't tell by how much I talk. But the podcast was good. It was very good when I wasn't talking and ruining everything. And the stand-up is very good. It's very good. Horatio had some very great. He had some great new material on Saturday, and it was like he's been doing it for months. So that was great. And Pat killed. I brought people who'd never seen Pat before. They've seen Horatio and I, and I go, I got to warn you about Pat. And there's always a warning with Pat Bagnon. And it's he's like the filthy, fatter version of Andrew Dice Clay. Irish, too.
I hate when people say that shit. That's like if I said, you're the smaller dick version of Ron Jeremy, right?
Sure.
Is that the fuck I used to say?
I'm the smaller dick. Well, I am the smaller dick version of Ron Jeremy. What do you want me to say?
Well,
call a spade a spade. That's not a black joke, by the way.
Right. Ron Jeremy's talent actually was being able to suck his own dick. However, though, Matt can do that. I mean, suck Ron Jeremy's dick.
I can suck Ron Jeremy's own dick, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, in trying to further his career, he sucked a lot of dicks, just not his own.
Well, it's great how filthy this show's getting the first 10 minutes. Everyone from L.A. just tuned out, that's for sure.
Right.
They've never heard such filth. They live in L.A.
Yeah, not in L.A.
No, I don't know what filth is in L.A.
No.
No,
all the people who Right. All the people at the local general store just shut out, you know, shut down the computer there. And
right.
They're going back to their farm.
You just lost Kansas. Say goodbye, Kansas.
We never had Kansas.
No.
You have to have something to lose it, and Kansas was never here. Well, what I was going to ask, though, is I would really like to do more shows with you guys as a group. I thought it went really well.
Yeah, I agree. You know what it is? We're in the same room. That was what made it better, because I'm surprised this right now is going so well. The last time we tried to do this as a group, it was a fucking train wreck, but I'm pleasantly surprised.
Well, you know what it is? It's I've learned how to shut up since doing your first show, doing the second show.
Oh, imagine
show.
That.
Well, actually, Patrick, you're right. We could actually ruin Matt's show just by, like, going on about things we see. Like, I'm in my car right now. I could just talk about everything I spot.
Oh, my God, there's an old woman.
Who's the fucking broad?
There's another Wendy's. Oh, my God, how many Wendy's do they need?
I could definitely hang up if it came down to that.
Right.
Hey, who's the broad? Who's that broad I just heard? Who's the fucking broad?
No, that
would be Lee Capriss.
No. Where's Katie Rose? Where's Katie Rose at?
Katie Rose is on her way. She's running a little late. She's singing in a wedding this weekend, and I go to a rehearsal. Yeah, she's a great singer.
Wow.
I mean, like,
I'm gonna have to use that as an excuse anytime I'm running late for work. I'm singing at a wedding. I'll be in 20 minutes late.
We've heard you sing. you know
Thanks.
What? I can't even concentrate right now. Yeah, Katie Rose is a little MIA. Oh, Lee, tell me this story about John Griffin last night at Cigars and Stripes. I need to know, if you don't mind.
Well, John was there.
I get a text from Lee. Let me just set up real quick.
Yeah.
I get a text from Lee, long story short, John Griffin makes him physically ill.
Yeah. He is, I think I said in the text that he is the human form of Velveeta. I mean, it's not, there's just something abrasive about his being before he takes the stage. He was there with an older woman with glasses who I want to say was his mother. He's enjoying the show. You know, I will say this for him. He's a good audience member. He sits there. His mother was there, though?
I got to see this.
I think, well, she looked normal, but, like, I don't have anything to say about that. It was just an older woman that I think was his mother. But he was there. He's a good audience member. You know, he's enjoying the show. And he gets on stage, and he's doing the thing which I guess he always does, which is an impression of Sammy Davis Jr. And it's
the greatest hit collection?
Yeah. But he added ones to it, so he's got new ones, right? And I've only seen him one other time, and the other time I saw him, he was doing this thing where he had a Tupperware thing with water in it and ducks in it, and he was moving them around to a song called Ducks in the Water. That's what he was doing. So he's very concept-y, and he said that he...
High concept.
High concept, to the point of not getting laughs or entertaining anybody. I don't want to use this podcast to play or hate on other comedians.
No, but I just thought it was very funny.
Yeah.
The Velveeta line, after you said that, I go, I have to know what his act was last night.
Well,
like, I had to know.
It was a multitude of Sammy Davis Jr. stuff. And he read some other things, too. And he talks about something in a way that makes you not want to know about it. He's just not... hearing him is the audio equivalent of not bathing. There's an abrasiveness to him, and he's not a bad person.
We don't need to use this podcast to play or hate comedians.
No, but here's the thing. Nothing. All right, listen. Let me tell you something. That was after how many other comedians who got up there and just, like, wasted time. Telling old jokes that, like, from the 60s.
Give,
like,
John Griffin this. He goes up,
and he
knows his act, and he does it.
He's original.
He is original.
I applaud that because I've seen... At Cigars, I mean, I've seen people steal jokes, and I've seen people doing jokes that were 100 years old. A guy's just like, sex is only dirty if you're doing it right. Whoa! Like wacky.
Glenn Beck and Gallagher are also original.
Yeah,
Let me just state.
I'm usually not the kind of guy to say something nice about anybody, but I'm going to chime in here for a second. Whatever you think about John Griffin's act, I could say that he is one of the most supportive people of other comics.
Really,
he'll
nice
go
guy.
To a show if he's not in it. I mean, it typically, like on I Facebook, said, if you're a comedian, all your fucking updates are going to be from other comics plugging their shows that I have no intention of going to. But
right.
He's somebody that if he sees a show and he's free, he'll show up and support people. Other than that, fuck him, fuck you, fuck everybody. But he's good at what he does, and he's a good guy.
He's a very good audience member. He sat through the whole show, laughed when he thought something was funny, congratulated other comedians. So he's probably a good guy. It's just like,
He yells too soon when appropriate.
Yes.
And when not appropriate, but still. I had one more question I wanted to ask Patrick and Horatio while we have him on the phone. And it's a question I have for you as well, Lee,
uh-huh.
And for myself.
Yeah.
And
the answer is storks. Babies are delivered by storks.
Have you seen these billboards saying the world is going to end on May 21st?
Yes.
I heard about it.
Now, of course, whatever. Complete nonsense. Who cares?
I know, because it's not 2012 yet.
But it got me thinking. The world's ending in, what, 7 days, 9 days, something like 9 days? And all I could think of was, I have to see more boobs. So what do you have to do in the next 9 days? All I could think of was boobs.
Fucking shirt off and look in the mirror. What the fuck's the problem?
Maybe take longer than 9 days.
Yeah. That I would kill. Forget the May 21st. I would just kill myself.
We'll get Pat Bagden in a fun house in the next 9 days.
Yeah.
And there'll be the skinny mirror, and he'll look great.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm thinking. Me in a dunking booth with a white T-shirt. There. Good to go.
All right. So you got his next 9 days. Horatio, what do you need to do before the world ends in 9 days? Boobs.
I don't know. Pay back my student loans? I don't know.
Why would you do that?
Why would I do that?
9 days.
I want to be dead in a
check and post data for 10 days. That's all.
All right. Yeah, there you go. Good thinking. Yeah. Wish I would have thought of that. All right, I'll go with Patrick's answer. I really don't know. I mean, I don't believe that it's going to end in 9 days. But supposing that it would.
Yeah.
I guess I'd go nail my ex-girlfriend's mom.
Yeah, that's about right. Horatio also wants to fit in with the Northside comedians in the next 9 days. You'd really like to fit in with that Northside crowd.
Yeah.
Lee, what do you got? Next 9 days.
I've pretty much done everything I wanted to do in this life, even at the tender age of 27. And the 28th of May is my 28th birthday.
I find that very easy to believe because you don't have a lot of high goals.
No, I don't have a lot of high
aspirations.
Honestly, just to say something, I'd see Thor again.
Yikes.
Yeah, you know.
Well, there's nothing gay about that answer. And speaking of gay, producer Caesar, what would you like to do in the next 9 days? World's ending, 9 days. What would you do? I want your answer. Bermuda Triangle, he says. Well, that's creative, at least. Why don't you just go to Key West?
Yeah, Key West.
It's the same place.
And go see Thor. Oh, and rape a clown. I want to rape a clown.
Rape a clown?
Yes, yes.
You could get away with that.
I forgot all about that. Oh, my God, that was such a big thing on there.
But rape a clown on the 9th day so you don't go to jail on, like, day 7 and
absolutely.
Then you're in jail
before the higher community in the clouds finds out what happened.
All right, gentlemen, Patrick Bagden, Horatio Ramirez, why don't you plug what you got? What do you got going on?
Ooh, me first? I guess Patrick Bagden, me, yes, this voice here. I have the Ashbury Hot Cup of Comedy show coming up Saturday. And that's a good time. And then U.S. Beer Company on May 20th. I'm going to be doing a show with Daryl Moon, who's always a very fun guy.
Oh, very cool. Hey, Pat, how are those 15-year-olds at the Ashbury going to take your humor?
I've been there. This will be my third time. I've headlined there, and they always like it. There's nothing more satisfying than talking about pussy dandruff in a room full of 16-year-olds.
Yeah, they loved hearing the words pussy and dandruff in the same sentence when you're 16. That's the greatest.
Absolutely. You know what? I don't have highbrow humor. I'm not going to talk about anything political or smart. I have to do stuff that's shocking and vile and horrible. And, you know, when you're 16 and full of hope, you still enjoy that kind of thing. So I just enjoy bringing the vulgarity to a whole new generation.
When you're 16, you still have a sense of humor, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty
right.
much.
Horatio, what do you got going on, buddy?
Well, tomorrow, Friday, I've got a show at the Watra, 48th and Pulaski, it's a show called Loco Locos.
Oh, Loco Locos. Wait, now you're just going to kill what I was going to say, because I asked you, and you said it's not just all Mexicans that go there.
No, it isn't. The headliner is actually a white guy.
The Watra. To a show called Locos Locos at the Watra. It's not all.
Yeah, Watra, which is actually a Polish club, too. So it's a very diverse atmosphere.
Oh, those crazy Polacks.
yeah, so I got that going on, and then I'll be doing a show in Hammond on the 20th.
I bet you're looking. Now, are you hitting up the industrial strip before or after you do your show?
I like getting crabs afterwards, so I'll be going after the show.
Also, why don't you plug Ho Bag? Where can we find it? Because it is my favorite podcast. I'm not even lying. It's like, no joke. It's the funniest. Corolla's good. Ricky Gervais is good. But these guys are consistently funny for an hour. They did a really good interview a couple weeks ago with Jake the Snake Roberts.
Cool.
Really respectful, insightful, and good. Trust me. I mean, this is not me in hyperbole mode or anything. It is a very fucking good podcast. Go ahead. Tell us where we can find it.
Well, you can find it on the iTunes by typing in Ho Bag Radio on the search little bar there. And you can also find us on through our website on Libsyn, which is Liberated Syndication. But also find us on Facebook, too. We got a page there. So,
yeah, you can add Horacio Ramirez and Patrick Bagden on Facebook or add their Ho Bag Show on Facebook. But they'll accept your personal request, too, because they don't have a lot of friends on there. No, you guys know I love you, like, to death. You are my two favorite people in Chicago that do comedy.
I've
told them this before. They're not.
But the fuck is Lee doing there on your show instead of me, prick?
How many times do I got to say the chair's open for you whenever you want?
It better be a big fucking chair.
I'll get two and weld them together.
Yeah.
I think what Patrick was getting at is that you're calling us your favorite Chicago comedians, and you got Lee there. What's he, chopped liver?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. Lee's
I wasn't
going to
say anything,
No. That's
how does it feel to know you're third best, and you're only there because Horacio and I had something better to do?
That's exactly what it is. You guys are top two, and I need to throw in an ethnic in my top two, so Horatio's in there. So, Lee, you may have been second.
Right.
But really what it comes down to is I had to go ethnic or woman, and we know women aren't funny. So
right,
I went,
No,
I'm just kidding. Women are funny. They're adorable.
Okay.
God, I sound really bad right now. Lee, name a funny woman. Go. Not Madeline Kahn because she was ugly. Go.
Imogene Coca.
Don't know who it is. Go.
Oh, God. Madeline.
You don't know who Imogene Coca was? She was the grandma from the first National Lampoon Vacation that they put on top of the car after she died.
Well, you know who I know who Grandpa Munster was.
Al Lewis.
Yeah.
Right.
He was
in porn.
Hey, wasn't Al Lewis supposedly gay? I don't want to get that wrong.
Huh?
I thought Al Lewis was gay, maybe. Grandpa Munster was...
He was in the closet, but he hung upside down because it was the whole bat thing in that. It wasn't a gay thing.
You ask them like they know, like, are they gay, Patrick and Horatio? Like, oh, they're
well,
like,
he never sucked my dick specifically.
Yeah.
You could find Hobag on iTunes, actually, under gay culture. That's the category it's under.
Oh.
Well, that's only because we had you in the last episode, though.
Thank you very much.
You're thinking of Teabag, not Hobag.
Oh, Teabag, right, right. No. Lee's in my top five Chicago comedians, though. It really goes...
Now he's five. That's I gave him credit for three. Now he's five.
Sure. Well, and I forgot about John Griffin, and
yeah.
I also forgot about
Todd Glover.
Emily Galati. Yeah, and Todd Glover. Oh, sorry, Lee. This list is just getting too long.
I know. It's getting kind of crazy. No, Lee is easily in my top 30.
Well, gentlemen, I just want to thank you very much. I'm about to have on our guests. Who's coming on? Carlos Mencia's lawn care guy, who's actually Carlos Mencia.
Right.
And who else?
I think it's Elaine Boozler's gynecologist, probably.
And Elaine Boozler's gynecologist, and she wasn't funny either, was she?
No.
Can you name me a funny woman that I could go, yes, funny? Kristen Wiig, she's funny. Got it, done.
Amy Sedaris, you don't think Amy Sedaris is funny?
Ugly.
Oh.
Yeah, no, funny in like, I look like a 17-year-old boy in a way.
What do you think of Maria Bamford? What do you think of Kathleen Madigan? Kathleen Madigan's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, but she's not hot. Were you talking about Martha Plimpton? She's funny.
I like Maria Bamford.
I don't know who that is.
The thing is, though, like people like Tina Fey and like Amy Poehler and Sarah Silverman might be talented, but they're very photogenic. That's the thing.
That's what I want.
Yeah, well, you're vain.
No, I'm not vain. Men can be ugly and on TV and on sitcoms and on movies. Men can be ugly.
And on podcasts.
No, definitely. Well, we got four guys
with their fifth favorite Chicago comedian.
Yeah, you have ever heard.
Yeah, we got the ugliest podcast going. But women, I mean, they're legit funny. Kathleen Magan's really fucking funny.
Phyllis Diller, ugly, funny.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go see something because Phyllis Diller's in it. And the reason is I can't look at her for an hour.
Well, you have a thing about not wanting to look at older people for an hour.
No, I love older people. Anyone that knows me knows I want to bang Diane Keaton and Meryl Streep up and down the hallways.
There you go.
However, I cannot look at Phyllis Diller for an hour. I don't care if she's as funny as fucking Rodney Dangerfield. I can't stare at her for an hour. Like my dick.
Buy a fucking CD. What's the problem?
Yeah, there you go.
Why would I do that?
Oh.
My dick would not have known such torture as staring at Phyllis Diller.
What about Whoopi Goldberg? You think Whoopi's funny? You like her on The View?
She's funny, but I can't watch her for more than like 5 minutes.
Well, but
we're not talking about watching. We're talking about listening to the humor, for fuck's sake. I used to think Geddy Lee was a woman from Rush for fucking 10 years, and I wanted
I really don't care about the humor. If I want humor, I can go listen to Rodney Dangerfield, or I could go, you know, I can go do a million fucking things if I want humor.
But do you think women listening to Rodney Dangerfield were just like, you know, could be younger and more of a hunk? I'm digging the funny, but I can't look at him.
Well, some of them,
that
yeah.
doesn't enter into it.
No?
Because it's Rodney.
So I'm the only person that thinks this way.
No,
I don't think
you're not.
So.
You're not.
I don't think so, because if I'm the only person that thinks this way, why aren't ugly broads, ugly women who are comedians, funny women, why aren't they headlining movies? Why aren't they headlining TV shows?
Do you ever hear of a TV show called Roseanne, jackass?
She was kind of good looking for a fat chick, though.
Are you fucking kidding me? I fucked Rodney Dangerfield before I fucked Roseanne. Get out of my life. I mean, I would have taken now, today. Get me a shovel for fuck's sake.
Okay,
man.
Obviously there's an exception to every rule, but for the most part, we're talking nay.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have taken John Goodman over Roseanne on that show.
Oh.
There's a story about John Belushi fucking hated women comics, and he didn't think they were funny, and he didn't want
to. No, he wouldn't work with them in the SNL writers' room. That's not a false story. That's 100%
true. 100%
true.
And then later on, they were watching a show or something like that of a tape of an old show, and they're sitting there. It's Belushi, and I forget it was Aykroyd or someone like, or Chevy Chase, and John Belushi looks over and he turns over and he goes, "You know, Jane Curtin was good." And he turned around. That's an old story.
And you got to get me right here. It's not that I don't think they're good, and it's not that I don't think they're funny.
I'd fuck Jane Curtin 1976.
I love women. I'll work with women in a heartbeat. I'll work with women before I work with men. However, I can't look at ugly women for 2 hours, just like they can't look at me for 2 hours.
Right. That's true. They do have that option in America.
All right, though. We got guests coming on. We got to go. Horatio, Patrick.
Were we supposed to chime in and say, oh, no, you're not ugly?
Yeah, go. Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you. Now, especially, I'm happy I had you on.
No. I was going to say, should I have said that? Because I don't know if I missed my line too late.
Oh, goodbye, Horatio. Talk to you later.
All right. See you later.
All right. Bye, guys.
See ya. Bye.
That was an interesting debate.
That was
having
fruitful.
Them
boy, last week, first part of the show, we were talking about the power of certain words. Yeah, this week it was about gender and comedy. I feel like we're really tackling the issues
but
here.
But, Lee, I want to get out there. I'm not anti-women. I love women.
Neither am I.
I work with women all the time on creative stuff. I love it. It's just there is a vain thing. I mean, I'm paying $10 for a movie. If that movie starred The Bridesmaids that's coming out Sunday.
Yeah.
Or Friday. I'm going to see it Sunday. But if that movie starred...
Looks like it could be good.
If that movie starred Molly from Mike and Molly instead of Kristen Wiig, I would not pay $10 to see it.
But looks like it's got a lot of actresses. Like, the camera's not going to be on the actress from Mike and Molly every single scene.
Thank God. Okay, anyways, I want to, first of all, I need to apologize. Jim McCarron's will not be joining us this week. He had a personal thing come up, which is fine. We love him. He will be on in 2 weeks with Peter Tolan. Larry Sanders Show, Rescue Me, blah, 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 yada,
oh,
yada, yada.
Oh, cool.
Next week, we have Sean Salisbury and Peter Schnick from Legion. He did Legion, and he edited Barbed Wire. I was just thinking of all his credits. And Salisbury just did a pilot today with Charles Barkley.
Okay.
So we have Sweeps Month going on here because we have two guests today, too. And it's going to be Brett Watson, who is a former senior writer from Entertainment Weekly. And Bruce Fretz will be joining us again from TV Guide. The two cranky guys will be joining us.
Oh, wow.
Right, right. Oh, wait, we got a phone call. Someone. Oh, they're both calling in. So we have no time to do our Jesse Jackson stuff.
Okay.
Hello.
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 Hey, Matthew, it's Brett Watson.
There's Brett Watson. How you doing, Brett?
Good, and I hear Bruce Fretz also.
Yeah, I heard Bruce.
I'm here, yes.
You guys have been busting each other's balls all day.
That's what we do.
Every time I look over at my phone's blowing up, and one of you is making fun of the others.
That's the shtick.
I love it. It's great. It's like me and Len. Len will be on soon, and it'll be like four cranky guys.
I know. And we got so little of Len last week. We're ready for a big dose of Lenny this week. Double dose.
Well, the first thing I want to get to, because I'll try to wait for Len to talk about when you guys were in Chicago, because you guys took a weekend here, and I was disappointed when I read the review, but we'll get to it. But what I want to talk about first is you guys the TV stuff that was going on this week. Fox canceled a slew of shows. Bruce Fretz was on last week, said, looks like Chicago Code's going to be gone. It's gone.
He called it.
Yeah. Yeah, you sure?
Well, I thought they were going to either pick up Chicago Code or Human Target, and they canceled both of them. So it was kind of a lose-lose because I like both of them.
Yeah, I feel very strongly about that Kiefer Sutherland show and Alcatraz, and they have another pilot, too. They must feel very strongly about them.
I guess so. I mean, I felt like Chicago Code needed more time to find an audience. I mean, the other shows they canceled, a few of them, you know, Human Target had been on for a couple seasons. You know, they had their chance, but Chicago Code didn't really get a fair shot at anything.
No, and in Chicago Code, their ratings just started climbing back up again, so they weren't consistently going down.
They also didn't have any musical numbers. I think that hurt them in a big way. You know?
Now, Brett, we talked to Bruce last week, but Brett, what's some of your favorite TV out there right now?
Well, I'm happy at the moment because I just watched the latest Parks and Recreation.
Do you like
the show that keeps getting better?
I've never seen that show.
As has not most of America. And Bruce Fretz doesn't like it, so it's a constant
friction. It's growing on me, but I think it's a little overrated. But, you know.
So you like Parks and Rec? Anything on the drama end?
On the drama end? No, I know I have to see The Killing because Bruce loves it.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, the pilot was excellent.
It just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I'm in the middle of the first episode of Tremé. I'm catching up, and it's better the second season, but so far in the first episode, it just seems like too many plot lines jammed into 60 minutes.
Well, are you?
I'll give it a chance.
That's the new season. That's the new season. The first episode, Tremé.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what I wanted to bring up is, I think Bruce and I are going to have a little fight here.
All right,
Bruce. You don't like The Good Wife, or you do? Because I cannot tell with you. Some weeks. Now here's.
I know. I go back and forth. I run hot and cold on The Good Wife.
And this is what Bruce does. He always praises the guest stars because they have.
That's true.
Like, there have been 12 guest stars from The Wire that have been on The Good Wife. The Good Wife has had a lot of great guest stars. And this week they had a great guest appearance from Sarah Silverman, who was fantastic.
Oh, I cheered. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So it seems like Bruce is always cheering the show when there's a great guest, like, performance on it. And then there will be times where you are jeering the show. So I'm kind of
confused. Well, I think it's
where you stand.
I think it's uneven, you know. That's the nature of series television. It's not going to be good every week. You know, some shows are, some shows aren't. But I think, really rises and falls based on the case of the week. You know, there's always, like, the backstory going on with the marriage and the politics and all that.
Right.
And that's usually pretty good. But a lot of it focuses around who the case of the week is. So the week before last, they brought back Martha Plimpton. I don't know why. And I can't stand her character. And then this week it was Sarah Silverman, so it was better, you know. But it goes up and down. I think people who praise that show to the skies, and there are a lot of them, particularly on the internet, who think it's in the same league as the top notch cable dramas, are deluding themselves. It's a network show, you know. It plays by network rules. It's really not as sophisticated as the stuff you're seeing on cable.
But see, I too am fairly prejudiced against network shows. There are great ones, there are good ones, but for me, I want to see gritty nastiness, sex, nudity,
yeah, I like
swearing,
network
violence,
shows.
All that stuff.
I like them. I like network shows because I feel like if you could do a network show very well, you're getting the best of what's on TV. And that's the way I grew up. I mean,
right.
I grew up watching TV like, you know, it was a crack habit.
Well,
now, I do want to bring up, I just got yelled at by a fan of the show who sent us an email. I did not say I don't think Madeline Kahn's funny. What I said was I cannot watch Madeline Kahn for an hour because she's not hot.
She doesn't star
she's
in a
dead.
Movie. First of all, she was hot. I thought she was hot in Blazing Saddles. And you
she
did not watch her
though.
For an hour in any movie, even in Paper Moon or movies where she had a serious role or something like, oh, God, shut up.
Well, I didn't
up,
say
weird.
I didn't say she is in a movie for an hour. I just said I can't watch her for an hour.
Okay.
I was making a point that, you know, I have this thing. Call me vain. Call me awful.
Could you watch her for 59 minutes? Is that is
no,
it,
no. Okay. She is funny. She is funny. But, like, I will not pay $10 to see Melissa McCarthy star in a movie. I won't do it.
Okay.
All right, Brett, what do you say? Madeline Kahn, hot or not?
Not.
Yeah, interested. Not. Thank you,
Lily
Brett.
Von Stupp? Come on.
Sorry.
Young Frankenstein. You know,
I'd rather go with Terry Garr in that circumstance.
Oh, Terry Garr.
Nice. Yeah.
She was good.
She looked good. Look, when Lenny and I review movies, Lee, you know what happens. What
yes.
always comes up.
Yeah.
How hot the women were.
Yes,
in it.
I know.
Sorry.
I know.
And yeah, I just want the women out there to know I'm not hating on female comedians.
Well, tell the both of the women viewers listening tonight that you feel that way.
Oh, well, we're down to zero women viewers now after I just railroaded them for an hour. Okay. Well,
it's the same way after we saw Thor. Bruce kept talking about how hot Thor was. You know, I'm used to that. Anyone with a giant hammer, Bruce is all excited
about.
That Norse god.
By the way, I happen to know you have at least one female listener right now because the woman that I'm dating, Triathlon Lady, is tuned in. So.
Triathlon Lady's tuning in.
Yep. Cool. Yep.
Right. You guys are still together. That's good.
Welcome to the show,
going
Triathlon.
Strong.
So I should
she
not.
She went to Thor with me, and I'm going to go see Bridesmaids with her this weekend. You know, we go back and forth like that.
You know, no, that's great. I'm seeing Bridesmaids with Lenny this weekend, so
well,
not a win-win for me.
So
who's going to be the hot one in that cast?
If it's between Lenny and Melissa McCarthy, Lenny.
Kristen Wiig's hot. Come on. Kristen,
no, Kristen
really
Wiig looks very good. And in that trailer.
I like how we've roped them into the game of Lenny, like telling who is like, we've made them play on our field.
I'm going to send Brett and Bruce this week. I'm going to send them a picture of Lenny so they get the references. That's all.
He's
a 27-year-old Tony Soprano. He looks just
all
like Gandolfini. Everyone thinks he's 50.
Yeah, but James Gandolfini not as Tony Soprano in the movie The Mexican with the goatee. That's how he looks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
No, Kristen Wiig looks great in the trailer when she's drunk on the airplane. I'm like, oh, that's sexy. No, I thought that looked sexy. That's what sold me on the movie. That scene right there, that sold me. I'm like, I got to see it for that scene alone.
Well, we'll be reviewing it. So.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I read your review with Thor. And
yep.
I'm pretty sure Lenny and I are absolutely going to agree with you later in the show. My opinion on it was the stuff that happens on Thor's home planet or whatever the hell's going on over there,
right.
That stuff was all right. Anthony Hopkins was okay. Rene Russo
Hopkins was in a coma for half the movie.
Well, that's why it was okay. And,
there you go.
And but mostly I thought the movie was kind of boring.
Well, especially the stuff when he all of a sudden shows up on Earth and he's like wearing clothes from the Gap strangely and, you know, speaks English. And I mean, it made absolutely no sense. They just wanted to save money on the sets so they could shoot like most of the movie in current day America. And there was no reason for him to be there.
No. And I don't know why. What is Natalie Portman, Stellan Skarsgård, all these great actors.
I know.
They're slumming it.
They are. Well, this is the conversation I imagine between Anthony Hopkins and his agent. Tony, I've got a movie for you. It's really shitty, but you're asleep through most of it. I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Well, did you hear? I'm pretty sure in scenes where Anthony Hopkins was in the scene, but the shot wasn't on him, you can hear him counting money. I'm pretty sure. I heard that going on.
It's funny because he was one of those actors who's really classy. Like, he would never say he was in something bad.
Thor!
Like,
Thor! You
no,
are,
he was never classy. He was never. He was in Hollywood Wives, the miniseries in the 80s. His career was nowhere. He did a movie with a dummy.
Right.
No, but he's so over the top in the movie too. He's always like, Thor, you are not mature enough to be king. Oh, it was. And then when you see, did you guys stick around for the scene after the credits?
Nice.
I didn't know there was a scene after the credits. Did you see it, Brett?
No, I didn't. I missed that.
Okay, there's a scene after the credits that sets up the Avengers movie. Spoiler alert for those listening. Turn your radio down for 10 seconds. Sam Jackson is with Stellan Skarsgård. They're talking about Bruce Brenner, the Hulk. And you find out Stellan Skarsgård's body was taken over by Thor's brother, Loki.
What?
And Loki's going to be the bad guy in Avengers.
Oh,
and then,
no, not more Loki.
Oh, wait till you get this, too. And the whole Avengers movie now is set up over an all... Tell me if you've ever heard this before. An all-powerful glowing cube.
Oh, great.
When you're stealing Michael Bay's ideas...
Yeah, that's dire.
So, you're probably not upset you missed that scene after the credits.
Yeah.
No, but do you actually see the Hulk? You don't see the new Hulk, do you?
No, you don't see Mark Ruffalo, no. And Mark Ruffalo is the Hulk. I mean, that's as interesting as Edward Norton.
So we're going to get like a grungy Hulk who's just like...
An emo Hulk?
Emo Hulk who's just like passively...
I hope he plays the same character he played in The Kids Are All
Right. Exactly, yeah, exactly. XXXY. Like, it's just like a passive Gen X...
I liked The Kids Are All Right. I thought that was a really good movie.
We both liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I did. I thought it was really... Annette Bening was fantastic.
She was good. Yeah.
She's great in everything,
I like
though.
That younger actress, Mia Wasikowska. I think she's very talented.
No, I know who you're talking about. I don't know the name.
She was...
Probably because I can't pronounce
it. Alice in Wonderland.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, let's talk about Chicago a little bit here. You guys came into town for the weekend, and I feel kind of bad because, you know, if you go visit Two Cranky Guys, the blog... What's the full web address for that?
TwoCrankyGuys.com.
Perfect. TwoCrankyGuys.com. I'm always clicking on it from the Facebook, so I never see the web address. But you guys gave Chicago a few backhanded compliments, but overall, it did not seem you enjoyed your trip.
That's not true. We just didn't enjoy the blues club that we went to. That was a low light. But the rest of the weekend was pretty good.
Favorite is
Wrigley Fields turned out to be delightful. We had a great time there.
Oh, really?
And I had a fantastic time the 3 days before Bruce showed up, which is pretty typical.
Well, Brett, I thought that was funny because it seems Bruce and I have a very similar problem where I guess we snore quite a bit.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Now, Brett, why not separate rooms? May I ask?
Well, this is kind of funny because, you know, it turns out that each of us thought the other was too cheap to get his own room. So we roomed together totally unnecessarily.
Oh.
See, I'm just as bad as Bruce. Like, I got to get checked for sleep apnea. People throw pillows at me, water at me, anything, and I won't wake up.
But, you know, Bruce doesn't have, like, this steady... You know, snore, the kind of thing you see in movies and Three Stooges. Like, it's got this thing that, like, stops and starts and strangles and gurps and glops.
Snore. That's where it's just
people
like,
think I'm dying. Like, people are like, I thought I was dead 5 minutes.
That's how my dad snores. It's really, like, it's...
Okay, but I'm 27.
Yeah, I know.
Not good.
I really...
So, Brett, you're giving my snores a bad review now?
Yeah, your snores...
You're cranky, man.
This is a surprise.
So what hotel did you guys stay at? At least a good hotel, right?
No, it wasn't that good.
You know, I had to move into, fortunately, this was a small suite with a sofa that had a bed into it. So I ended up sleeping on the cheap fold-out sofa to get away from
Snorkel's
nostrils.
Wow.
Like an episode of The Odd Couple.
Plus, outside the window was the L train. So.
Right.
Yeah, that was nice.
Picturing when you guys said that, I was picturing you guys were Jake and Elwood Blues.
Right. Every minute, every other minute.
Yeah.
You get used to it.
And you guys are at Elwood's apartment and the train.
That was pretty much it. Yep.
Yeah.
And then
in Chicago, the subway cars have doors that sound like door chimes. So I kept on thinking in the night I had to get up and answer the door. It's nice, like ding dong.
Right.
You don't have that in New York. It's
supposed to be pleasant.
Oh, so what happened when you guys went to Kingston Mines?
You want to take this one, Brett?
What didn't happen? You know, the first thing is that we made the mistake of not eating beforehand. I find it ridiculous that you sit down and a waitress will take your order, but she can't take your food order. You have to go on this trek to the back of the restaurant and line up at a window.
Right,
and then they say, okay, come back in 25 minutes. And then I came back in 25 minutes, and they said, come back in another 25 minutes.
Well,
that time I sent Bruce, when Bruce went, and he said, oh, they've lost our order. I have to go back in 15 minutes. So,
yeah, and Kingston Mines is a famous blues club in Chicago. I wanted to state for our listeners, it's a famous blues club. So you guys were looking for blues. Now, in my experience with Kingston Mines, the only time I hear good music there is late. And I thought maybe you guys were staying out late. So I'm like, go by Kingston Mines. It won't suck. But then I felt bad because they went and I guess it sucked. The food.
Well, don't feel bad because everyone recommended Kingston Mines. The concierge recommended it.
Even though he
another
couldn't
friend
tell
of Bradley's in Chicago
there.
Recommended it.
In hindsight, you should have gone to Buddy Guy's Legends.
Yeah.
I thought about that, yeah.
In hindsight. But that's 20.
Well, that was the thing. The first act is acoustic, and it's a woman.
Ooh.
And she's singing songs like Blackbird by the Beatles and Light My Fire by the Doors, which is not blues. And then she finishes her acoustic set and says, okay, now you got to move to the other room to listen to my electric set, and there'll be no music in this room until 10:30, which is the main room.
What?
And we were planning to leave by 10:30, so we basically got screwed out of any kind of music.
Oh, see, you guys need to come for – my thing is I said to them, and Lee, tell me if you agree with me. I told them they have to come here for a weekend and stay out late.
Yeah.
It's because of Bruce's Tina Fey infatuation. He had to get home back to the hotel to see SNL.
Get this, Lee. Bruce had to leave. He did not want to stay out late because he had to go watch Saturday Night Live,
which starts at 10:30 in Chicago. What is up with that? What is wrong with you people in your time zone?
He had to see his Tina Fey, damn it.
He needed his fix.
Yeah.
Now Tina Fey is hot, right? Am I right?
Yeah, she's good looking,
yeah.
Yes.
All right, way to play to our discussion style in the show.
But get this, I don't think, my only problem with Tina Fey is this, it seems like, and if she has a cameo in Bridesmaids, I'm going to slit my wrist, because it seems like women cannot do anything in comedy right now unless Tina Fey is involved in one way or another. That's how I get this feeling she's everywhere. Everywhere.
Well, they always do that. They overexpose somebody when they get a little famous, and then they wind up in 9 movies a year. Ben Stiller,
yeah,
Will Ferrell.
Great.
The same with the guys. Will Ferrell, all those guys, Steve Carell, they all show up in each other's movies.
Yeah.
No, I think Tina Fey has very, self-consciously gone about trying to follow that model, of the Will Ferrells and the Ben Stillers, who, they all give their friends parts in their movies, and they, build each other's careers up, and so...
Which
more power to her.
If you ask her, she claims she never wanted to be an on-the-air personality.
If you ask her,
she claims that. I don't believe it, or else you wouldn't be on the air.
I do think she is trying to help other performers.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Bruce, do you think Alec Baldwin is leaving 30 Rock, Bruce?
I think he's going to stay for one more year, then he'll be gone. I think that's good, because I think the show has totally run its course at this point. It's just
and you know what, Bruce? I think next year is the last year anyway.
Yeah,
I don't think it should be.
I think it will be.
I don't think it goes past Alec Baldwin leaving.
No.
I haven't watched it in a year. I was addicted to the show the first couple seasons, and I stopped watching it. Not because it was bad. It just wasn't holding my interest anymore. I felt like I saw it all already.
You pretty much have, yeah. You haven't missed much of the season. There have been very few highlights.
I felt like once I got through 2.5 seasons, I saw the show. That's it.
Yep.
And like so many long-lived sitcoms, the further it goes, the more wacky and far-fetched it gets.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Now there's a new addition to the family. Or now we brought a pet wolf.
Is that a Married with Children reference?
Yeah, right.
Seven.
Seven, yeah. Well, come
on. We're one season away from the Amazing Kazoo, if you were a Flintstones fan.
I love a good Flintstones reference.
Kazoo.
I'm going to show my age here.
Well, I look like Fred Flintstone, so it all goes together quite well.
You kind of
look like Barney Rubble.
I do.
This works out pretty well.
Remember that Married with Children where aliens stole Al Bundy's socks to make rocket fuel?
Yes.
Didn't seem like they had any run of ideas during that. Like, they were low on ideas then. Greatest show of all time.
I don't know about greatest show of all time.
Yeah.
I Bruce, are you a Married with Children fan?
I am not. I cannot.
I had a feel about
not endorse
this.
That show.
Guinness record holder for the longest show to be on prime
time. Now hold
on
one second.
Award.
Leonard's calling in. This is about to get saucy. We're going to get Len's opinion on their Chicago trip.
All right.
Lenny.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. You're on with
going in?
Bruce Fretz and Brett Watson, the two cranky guys, are with us as well. And we're talking about.
I think we're a lot more cranky than that.
Well, we're talking about their Chicago trip. And they went to Kingston Mines, did not enjoy themselves. They had to sit through a bad acoustic set, and the food was awful, and they had to go get the food themselves, and just a bad experience there. The hotel they stayed at was under the L, so they had to hear the L all night.
They liked the Wrigley Field.
Good time at Wrigley
Field.
They
liked the Wrigley Field. We liked the stuffed pizza, you know, the deep dish.
Yeah.
Bruce, I thought you were...
May I respond?
Yes, please do, Len.
Okay. First of all, Kingston Mines, it's a tourist trip. Now, your best bet is to go across the street to that little blues joint across the street from Kingston Mines.
I saw that sign, and I thought that looks more legit, but everyone said Kingston Mines. Kingston Mines, you got to go to Kingston Mines.
That's a tourist trip. Go blues, a lot better. Now, as for the hotel by the L tracks, were we staying on the first floor?
No.
No, we were actually staying right even with the platform, about the third floor. Bruce wanted to get a hotel that was within walking distance of Wrigley Field. The previous 3 days, I had stayed in Splendor at the Hyatt.
Wrigley is.
Yeah. No, that place was nice. Oh. We should have stayed there.
Well, no, I mean, I get the Hyatt on Hotwire for like $65-$70 sometimes.
That's what Brett got us for.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Meanwhile, we paid like, $370 or something for the other place? It's ridiculous.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, well, because you pounded the mini bar so hard. You know, that ended up...
I did. I hit the mini bar hard. I
had to take out a loan
to
get out of there.
Right.
No, it's for you guys liking Wrigley Field. You should really make a trip down to 35th Street on the south side and see what a real ballpark is like.
All right, next time we'll go there.
Bruce, explain how you bought the Sox hats for your kids, and they almost.
Oh yeah, my son. I asked my son, who's 15, before I left. You know, what kind of Cubs gear can I bring back for you? And he's like, oh, I don't like the Cubs. I want a Sox hat. I'm like, seriously,
smart kid.
Across the street from Wrigley, they almost didn't let me in.
There was one. There was one souvenir shop where Bruce was scared to ask if they had any White Sox stuff. So I asked for him. I said, "My friend's son is a White Sox fan. Do you have any White Sox stuff?" And she just gave me the thumbs down gesture.
Oh, you got a bad review.
Now, what happened when you guys went to the Art Institute? I saw
that was fun. That was good. We had fun.
Explain to me this picture of two potatoes that look like a huge ball sack.
Well, that was a painting called The Irish Question that basically was just a painting of two potatoes, and Brett pretended like he was offended by it since he's part Irish.
Well, you know, it's about the time of the Irish potato famine, or just after, and so here's this guy slamming American Irish immigrants with a painting of two testicular potatoes. This is high art?
Only in Chicago. It's only high art here.
Right.
Well, I like that. And there's another painting of an upside down chicken that I liked. I guess I took my picture in front of that.
I saw that, and you need to get that blown up and framed in your house.
Yeah. It's like
there's
the Kramer.
A picture of Bruce with this upside down, like, it looks like one of those Gallagher rubber chickens.
Exactly.
And I'm like,
that's art.
Picture, but it's great.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Of all the art that's in the Art Institute of Chicago, of all the classics, of all the old masters, Bruce says to me, take a photo in front of the plucked chicken.
I like the
Oh, that's funny. Now, where did you guys eat when you were in town, other than Kingston Mines? Which there is a Mexican joint across from Kingston Mines, which I hate. It's got to be 1,000 times better than Kingston Mines.
Is that the place that says the burritos are as big as your head?
Yeah.
We saw the sign for that. We didn't go there. No, we had deep dish at Giordano's, and we had brats and beers at Murphy's across the street from Wrigley.
You're vegetarian, Bruce.
Not anymore. No, I've adopted a win in Rome attitude towards vegetarianism. So when I'm in Chicago, I gotta have a bratwurst. You know,
the meat packer of the nation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You gotta eat
so
deep
you
there.
Have to.
So Lenny, Giordano's the best choice for deep dish?
You could have went Lou Malnati's. Giordano's is too much of a chain, and I would have stayed away from Pizzeria Uno and Pizzeria Due. Those two. They're good places, but.
Lou's, though, I can't eat there anymore. Their sauce is way too chunky, They don't make any pizza there. They just unfreeze it. It's always watery.
Hey now. Hey now. I like Lou's. I like Lou's. Geno's East. No one said Geno's East?
No one said Geno's. They're okay. I like Pequod's on Webster. And
Pequod's is great on Clybourne and Webster.
That's good deep dish to me.
Now, Bruce,
well, now you tell us.
Bruce, Brett, you come to town. Do you have any White Castles at least? Or do you got White Castles out by you?
Oh yeah, we got White Castles here. I don't
eat there.
No.
I was watching something where I was. I thought I saw that they don't have White Castles out east.
No,
not
they don't.
True.
Not true.
Don't they?
Not true.
Like, there's one near me in New Jersey.
See, we have this. Me and Lee both have this idea that there's none. Maybe in
my
New
father Jersey. Talked about eating White Castle when he was a kid growing up in Queens, on Long Island. So
I love White Castle.
So much for. Oh, well, we'll get to that later, Lenny.
Oh, okay.
We got a story to talk about from White Castle later.
Is it
we
about
do.
You guys tried to go to White Castle one night and it was this long odyssey and you couldn't
no,
get there?
No, we did go to White Castle one night, and we'll get to that later in the show. But so where's the next two cranky guys trip headed?
Well, we're talking about Kansas City next, because now that I'm eating meat again, when I was growing up, my dad told me that the best steaks he ever had were in Kansas City. And I want to see that ballpark, because I remember watching that ballpark growing up, seeing that waterfall in center field and thinking someday I want to see that waterfall. So I think that might be our next trip, but we're trying to nail down the dates right now.
Yeah, it's a beautiful ballpark. And George Brett, can't go wrong.
Exactly.
Plus the Nelson Atkins Art Museum is so big and famous, there's bound to be another plucked chicken in there for Bruce to stand in front of.
And I'm sure there are lots of bad blues clubs we can get trapped in.
Oh, in Kansas? Absolutely. Kansas
oh, yeah.
City?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's plenty of those.
Kansas City. Go ahead. Sorry, guys.
No, go ahead, Len.
No.
Kansas City's actually going to have the country's fastest internet within the next 2 years. They were when Google came out, they wanted to install broadband networks in one given American city, and Kansas actually won that. So they're going to have insanely fast internet speeds. So that's
well,
great when you want to watch a variety
we
of pornography.
Get the internet
in
our hotel in Chicago, we couldn't get an internet connection. So that'll be a refreshing change. That was another wonderful feature of the hotel. The idiot slackers behind the desk couldn't figure out how to get us on the internet.
Oh, we have.
Yeah, these aren't bright people.
Yeah.
No.
Lenny will tell you that we have plenty idiot hipsters in town.
Yeah.
Oh, it's messed up in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
That
I ultimately tipped that guy just so he would leave the room, even though he couldn't get his connection.
You see, I felt bad that I had a stand-up show Saturday night, and Lenny had a bachelor party. We wanted to take you guys and do some real Chicago stuff. Lenny, we should have taken them to Richards.
What's that?
They would have had fun there.
No, you don't think so?
No, they would have had fun.
Oh, yeah, I thought.
That was where your stand-up show was. Yeah, we should have gone there.
Oh, well,
that
stand-up show was actually good. Yeah, I actually did pretty well, I guess.
Yeah, well, Brett used to do stand-up, so he would appreciate that.
Oh, wow, Brett. Did you just do stand-up, like, locally, or were you touring, or what?
No, just in New York City. It was, not a vocation.
Well, that's a pretty big place to do it, though.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry that Bruce's Tina Fey obsession had us seeing a bad episode of SNL instead of seeing you guys. That would have been funnier.
I did say, I'm like, you know, if you guys want to come out with the 10 Italians, we got you covered after 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Next time we're going to do that.
Absolutely. You'll have a blast. By the way, you threw out a plug in your two cranky guys, and I wanted to say this was actually an interesting plug. Who recommended you guys go to Murphy's Bleachers?
Eric Gilliland, actually, who's a sitcom writer, worked on Roseanne back in the day and worked on My Boys, and who has
a
Facebook friend of mine. Yeah, yeah. So
yeah.
He's a real Chicagoan, so he said definitely check out Murphy's, and that was definitely a good call for the pregame festivities.
So there we go. Hey, they didn't go to Billy Deck's Rocket, Lenny.
Go figure.
We couldn't find it. Where was that? We were looking around for that.
They got the one up there, and they got one. The main one's on Hubbard.
Yeah, Rocket Wrigley is a block down from Murphy's Bleachers.
Ah, we didn't see it.
Yeah, it's a block.
Yeah, I missed much.
Thanks, Len.
No, I'm just kidding. I just hate Wrigleyville in general and all the bars that are up there. Love Rocket on Hubbard, but anything that affiliates itself with Wrigleyville, I'm very negative towards.
You know how I feel having all of us on? I just have to play a small little clip here because this is how it's feeling.
Is that Laverne and Shirley?
So I'm imagining when I'm reading Two Cranky Guys that Brett, who is Balky and who's Larry?
We argue more over who's Statler and who's Waldorf. That's our big debate.
In my head, I was seeing you guys spin around the doors, and somebody ran through twice, and then you guys are wearing tuxes to the Chicago Theater.
Did the Bulls just win or something?
I don't know if the Bulls just won. How do I know? I'm not watching it. So the playoffs.
I don't know. People are driving around screaming here by me.
I think the Bulls just won. They were way ahead in the third quarter.
Yeah, Bruce has been watching the playoffs very much. Hey, there's been some great games with Memphis and
yeah, that's
Oklahoma City, right? I made Brett watch some of that. He's like, who are these teams? I've never heard of them. I'm like, it's a story of rivalry, the Memphis Grizzlies and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Well, but if you don't watch sports, Brett's right. Who is Oklahoma City and who's Memphis? They're relatively new.
I didn't even know they had basketball teams.
There you go.
They had a triple overtime game the other night. It's an amazing series.
Yeah,
I had no clue.
Well, Lenny, we know how much basketball you watch.
Well, no, I stopped watching after 98.
There you go. Bulls talk. Here we go.
Right.
When Jordan left, was it?
That was the end of basketball, and then you had Allen Iverson and all the other shit that came in. But now they've really done an amazing job bringing the sport back and having, like, a good reputation, kind of like the NFL, not as negative as it once was.
Oh, yeah. Someone just told me Bulls won, yeah.
All right.
By the way, Bruce and I were surprised at how tame the people in the bleachers were at Wrigley.
Yeah, expecting like sorority girls in the bleachers.
Because people bring their kids there now. That's the problem. It used to be anything goes. Now people are bringing their little sons. Oh, they don't want any rowdy.
You know what I think it is? Bleacher tickets have gotten so expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
Bruce and Brett, let me tell you, bleacher tickets, if I wanted to go to a game when I started going to DePaul a few years ago, if I wanted bleachers, $15. Now
I was shocked that we paid $58 per person.
Yeah.
I was
now
shocked.
It's expensive. You can't have those bleacher bums sitting there anymore because they can't afford it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're the alcoholics. They can't get in.
Right. Yeah, no, right. Was Ronnie Woo?
Yeah, everyone wanted to be an alcoholic, and now they outpriced the alcoholics out of the bleachers.
Well, now they're outside the stadium playing the drums through the whole thing.
Oh,
yeah, how come the
boy.
People in the neighborhood don't come out with a shotgun for those, like, these rows of people drumming on plastic buckets for 3 hours?
Oh, I feel the same way. Or when you leave Comiskey Park or the Cell, there's always this guy playing the saxophone really poorly, and you're supposed to
he plays the same song.
Yeah.
Yeah, you always
what does he play Chicago?
He plays In the Mood. I forgot who that was. I don't even know what it was, but it's In the Mood or something it's called.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, they do it in New York, too. They play New York, New York. If the Mets win or the Yankees win or lose, they don't care. There's always some guy out there playing New York, New York.
Well, don't you guys have the little drummers in the subway, too? Are they allowed to play there or no?
Paint bucket drummers?
That kind of went out with the 90s. I haven't seen much of that in the city
anymore. Not here, Brett. We're about 20 years behind over here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little slow to catch up.
Yeah.
I'll set my calendar back.
We're still dressing like Don Johnson over here. We're Miami Vice. I was going to ask you guys, anything interesting movie or TV-wise you guys are looking forward to?
Well, I think we're going to see Priest this weekend, Priest in 3D. Brett's pretty excited about that, I know.
Uh-oh.
They get flashbacks with youth.
Uh-oh. Oh, I was an altar boy. That was fun.
Oh, wow. He went there.
I was. No, it wasn't a joke. Lenny, you and I have talked about this. We were both, we both did stuff at the church.
Oh.
I know.
We just didn't do it with the priest. Thank you, Lee.
You can't even say you're an altar boy anymore. I didn't imply that. But, like, you're just like, someone's like, oh, you went there. Yeah, you.
Well, that's the thing. This Priest movie looks great because at least now they have the priest going after vampires instead of little boys. Keep them busy. keep them busy.
You know what? You should say that. If you ever get accosted by a priest who's trying to do something to you, can't you go after some vampires?
And we're gonna do the beaver, too. We got to do the beaver. We wanted to do that with a puppet, but we haven't gotten the puppet together yet.
Lenny, we got to see the beaver.
Yeah, me too.
When are we seeing that?
We said that. First week it comes out, as always.
Our theater doesn't have it yet, so we're probably going to be
coming
stuck
this weekend.
Wait, it's already out?
It's out in New York.
Oh, this town is so far behind.
Chicago, it's just in the city. You got to go to the Landmark Century.
We don't go to the Landmark Century. I got my AMC Stubbs Rewards over at the Quart.
Oh, jeez. You're worse than Brett with the Stubbs.
You've enjoyed three pretzel bun nuggets thanks to that, my friend.
See,
that's true.
Brett, Stubbs? Are you on the Stubbs?
I know, Stubbs.
Brett's on the Stubbs, I think I'm hearing here.
Yes.
Oh,
the AMC switcheroo.
Thank you.
You guys could be Stubbs friends.
Brett, how great is the Stubbs reward program?
I've had free tickets and free food. It's a great thing.
Thank you. That's why I don't go to Landmark, Lee, with your little indie movies, your little art flicks.
The
I
beaver that you want to see.
It's not Artie. It's Melly Gibbs.
Yeah.
Bruce Brett's favorite guy, Mel Gibbs. Bruce, how can you see a Mel Gibson movie and be objective?
I can't, but I don't need to be.
I don't need to be.
That's why it's called Two Cranky Guys. What's objective about that?
I was going to say, are you guys going to get your New York Critics license yet? Do you guys get one of those?
I think we're a few reviews away from joining the New York Film Critics Circle. Yeah, I think that'll be a big step up for us.
Well, they told Lenny and I we got to wait 6 months, and I'm just imagining Lenny and I in the same theater as Richard Roper and Mikey Wilmington and Raji Ebs.
Yeah.
Well, if you see Richard Roper, punch him in the head for me.
You know, I saw him not so long ago. He's a weird dude.
He's a moron. He doesn't know anything about movies.
No, he doesn't know anything about movies. I did tell him, though. I saw him before Rocky Balboa came out. And I called Guido, and I said to him, I go, if you do not give Rocky Balboa a good review, I will find you, Richard Roper. A week later, it comes out. Richard Roper's like, great movie. Fantastic. Loved it.
See? All credit is due.
Yeah, I take full credit for that.
Yeah.
No, but he has a radio show here with this guy, Ro Cohn. And,
Ro Cohn.
Whatever. Who cares about him? Do you care about him, Lenny?
No, it's mostly conservative talk radio, so no.
Yeah, and we're Democrats, so we don't listen to that. I thought all critics got along. Bruce Fretz and Richard Roper don't get along.
Not all critics get along at all. No.
No.
Come on. Really? You thought critics got along?
I thought Bruce Fretz and Gene Shalit are like arm in arm down the street.
You thought critics...
Is it because of all his awful puns, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Puns, and then Bruce is like, cheers.
Yeah.
Don't get Bruce going about John Stamos. He's got another...
Oh, we did last week.
Yeah.
I got him going.
What's there?
He didn't get too into it about the John Stamos. I wanted him to get a little. I wanted him to get a little mean about it, but he didn't.
You thought the most opinionated people in the world got along?
Yes.
Come now.
Yes, I did. Well, comedians don't get along, so
no.
I was thinking everyone else has to.
Right.
Critics are worse than comedians.
Oh my God! Really?
And that says something. Because let me tell you something. I'll tell you something. Comedians pretty awful.
Yeah, we all hate each other.
Yeah.
I barely.
Yeah, well, critics are miserable human beings too. So you know.
There's
a lot of hate going around.
Let me ask you, do you find that becoming a critic about one thing makes you a critic about everything? You critique everything?
Good
question. Yeah, pretty much. You know, I mean, that's what we're doing with Two Cranky Guys. You know, we're expanding it beyond just movie reviews. We're doing food. We're doing dating. We're doing, you know, everything. So,
but the
Wait. Critique. I want to hear a critique on dating.
Oh, well, you know. Where do I begin? That's like Facebook gold. You know, I'm posting all this stuff about my dating life and... You know, the internet blows up when you start talking about, you know. Women,
I think your most controversial post was the one about who pays.
Right, who pays for the first date.
Right.
See, my most controversial post was about the make an ugly woman your wife one day, you know. So start dating the ugly girls. So, you know, if a girl comes out all dolled up, you have to treat them like shit then. What?
I can't.
Run that by me again?
Yeah, how was that controversial?
Well, there is some reasoning behind that song, Make an Ugly Woman Your Wife. She cooks meals on time. She'll always give you a piece of mind. I see no controversy.
You just love that song.
That I love that.
If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, make an ugly woman your wife.
Pretty woman your wife.
Right.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Make an ugly woman your wife. Yikes.
I tried that. It didn't work.
Oh! And I'm guessing the ex doesn't listen to this show.
And it's her lawyer on line three, Bruce.
With a cease and desist.
Brett, do you talk about your dating life on the Facebook? Cause Bruce
well, I'm married.
Oh, married. Never mind. Nothing to talk about there. There's
yeah, Bruce likes to.
Interesting about being married.
No.
But Brett has a very beautiful wife. You know, he bought her on the internet. So.
What country?
He's Canadian. Okay. I had to import.
You know, you got to buy American sometimes, but other times you can't. You don't have that option.
No.
You got to buy an import. You know, it goes against in the face of everything we've been taught, but.
Well, so Brett, what do you talk about on the Facebook? Are you as controversial as Bruce, or do you save it for the two cranky guys?
Well, I'm not as much of an exhibitionist as Bruce is. He got annoyed with me in Chicago because I was taking a series of photos of Bruce posting on Facebook at Giordano's having pizza. Here's Bruce posting on Facebook at Wrigley Field. Here's Bruce posting at Kingston Mines.
You were posting those photos on Facebook of me posting on Facebook, so you're a hypocrite.
That's pretty good, though.
That's funny. And then, I thought that's your definition of exhibitionism.
Yeah. Well, no, but Bruce's Facebook sometimes, we talked about this last week when before he was now dating triathlon lady, there were a string of failed dates.
Yes.
And he would tell why he did the deal breakers of each of them.
Yeah.
Like the Peanuts t-shirt.
Right.
Or the
Peanuts t-shirt.
Camping.
Not having cable. You know, this keeps coming up. I don't have cable. What? What do you mean you don't have cable?
I think it's at the point where Bruce is out on a date with a woman, and at some point during the date, he pulls out and he's posting, okay, she doesn't have a DVR, I'm out of here in 10.
Oh, man.
You know what Bruce should start doing if he happens to be single again is he should go on the date and ask us opinion questions while he's on the date. Facebook like a poll or something.
Yeah, I could live blog the date. I think that's a great idea. I think I should
right.
do that.
Right. She loves John Stamos. Deal breaker or no? Hurry up. I got 30 minutes.
If I'm on a date and a woman is texting during the date and posting on Facebook or tweeting, and I'm trying to talk or at a meal or something or at the movie, I'm sorry, goodbye, I'm out of there because it's about me. It's about the date with me and how it's not going well. If it was
well,
going,
I immediately assume she's not Facebooking. She's texting another guy who she'd rather be with.
Right.
When in reality, she's on the other side of 25 every minute. She stays up past 11. Every additional cocktail she has is going to add a wrinkle to the line. So you or me are probably the best she's going to do.
Oh, God.
Oh,
Lenny,
thank you.
You are
wise wisdom.
You are the father I would have never gotten along with.
Which is funny because you may be older than Lenny.
Yeah, right.
It's a possibility.
It's a possibility.
Oh, so anything else you guys want to plug? I don't want to keep you with this kind of stupidity any longer.
Yeah, right.
Well, Brett, what do you want to plug? Brett, you want to plug
I have nothing, Bruce.
Scavenger
I think
hunts?
We'll,
come on.
You've covered our base.
You got scavenger hunts in Chicago, right?
Yes, I was in Chicago because I have a company that does scavenger hunts that are humorous and informative for the general public. They're at we do Naked at the Art Museum at the AIC and Hunt in the Loop. So that's why
fun.
I was in Chicago.
That sounds fun.
When's the last time you were in on a good scavenger
hunt?
No
one ever asked me to go. Like, my dream is the next Nick Cage National Treasure movie, they call me.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to read a script. I'm going to, go for it. Like, I want to find. They're going to give you some fake plot map, and I'm going to follow it because I really want to do a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
I really do.
You got to take a comedian on a treasure hunt. They're observant people.
And I'm sure when Nick Cage is out of jail, he'll be doing one.
Well, if you go to WatsonAdventures.com, you pick a hunt, and you'll be my guest. So you let me know if you want to go on one.
Oh, that'd be great. I kind of want to go.
Do the Naked at the Met, Naked at the Art Institute one. That's fun. It's all nudes.
Also at the Art Institute. Got the Field of Screams hunt at the Field Museum. So
can I
get around.
Can you be naked while doing the Naked at the Art Institute hunt? Yeah,
you know, I think that's a first waiting to happen. I think we can pioneer that.
Okay, so I'll take that as a yes.
I'll set up the bail money. Bruce, do you got anything this week you want to plug? And we really thank you guys for coming on the show. We really do thank you.
Thanks for having us. It's great. Oh. A lot of fun.
It's fun. Yeah, we're having a good time.
I'm glad.
No, I got nothing. You know, cheers and jeers on TVGuide.com every day.
It's the most popular. That's about it. It's the most
and
popular.
His date with Triathlon Lady on Friday. So
I can't
That's right.
wait to hear about that. I really can't.
You'll hear all about it. Don't worry.
I'm thinking of writing into my sitcom like all the stuff that happens on Bruce's dates. I'm going to live vicariously through Bruce. I'm going to pitch my pilot to Peter Tolan when he's on in 2 weeks. It'll be all Bruce dates.
It'll be called Bruce's Dates.
And
every
Bruce,
episode will be a date.
Bruce and Brett, I do thank you because I think I sent Peter Tolan an email a while ago. I think you guys being on the show this week and him being on last, Bruce, you being on last week got his attention.
That's great.
That's why he's coming on, which is great. He's a great guy. I'm glad he's doing it. He's a class act.
Absolutely, yeah. He's a great guy. Tell him I said hello.
Written some of the best TV and movies that I've seen.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. Lenny and I are now going to talk crass, and we don't want to ruin your careers.
More
crass. More crass.
All right.
All right.
Thanks again, guys.
Guys, we'll talk to you soon, okay?
You got
Definitely.
It.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Okay.
Yeah,
those guys are great.
You know, they're really great together.
Len, you there?
I'm here.
Godfather, you there?
I am.
Len,
you hear me? You hear me?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I hear you. All right.
You want a jag off?
I'm a jag off.
Can't even go for a walk in my own fucking neighborhood.
Okay, there's a couple. There's a couple things Len and I need to talk about because we had quite the interesting weekend. But I do want to call someone else. We have another guest tonight. Let's see if he'll answer. He knows what's coming, so he may not. You know,
is this Luca?
No, it's Charles.
Oh.
No, I don't know if he has
Hello?
The call.
Hello?
Charles.
Hello?
Charles.
Charlie!
Hello. What's up, guys?
You're on with...
Are you hanging out at Touch of Class or something?
Touch of Class.
Touch of Class.
No, I haven't. I'm not in a while.
All right, Chuck, we need to know about your weekend, and Lenny and I are going to talk about our weekend, but we need to know about you getting laid.
What are you going to call me every week for, like, updates on my sex life?
Hey, you're going to turn into the Playboy of Chicago, okay? Or the Playboy of whatever trailer park's on 110th.
And let's face it, we have the need to live vicariously through you.
Yeah. Matt's talking to
Chuck, I didn't get laid today, so... by the way, someone just sent me a message that they love Lenny.
I hope it's a girl.
Congratulations,
it was
Lenny.
A girl.
You're a fan.
It's a girl, Lenny. It was a woman.
You don't have to lie to him.
You know what? No, I take love from everybody.
Matt's mom doesn't count.
It's real funny. Real classy. Way to class the show up.
Yep.
So, Charles, can you talk about how you got laid or what? Come on now.
Okay, sure. I met
someone. So what happened?
Someone.
How did this happen?
I met her 2 weeks ago at a bar. We were talking. So last week we met up and met up for drinks. She had a beer. I had water. Then we had some food. Then we went to Thor. And then after Thor, I went back to her place and banged.
Where'd you go for food? How'd you get her horny?
Where did we go for food? Oh, we met at English, so we ate at English.
English, yikes. All right. So you went
They got food there? Yeah, they got good food there. They got good sandwiches.
Yeah, whatever.
What'd you have?
I had the buffalo chicken and the pulled pork mini sliders.
What'd she have?
She had the buffalo chicken mini
sliders. She had the Chuck special. It's about 3 inches long.
Comes with sauce.
Comes with a little sass.
She put
a little rubber on top.
Hey.
So, Charles, all right. How in the world did you get laid? You went to see Thor.
What?
You went to see Thor. So you know she was thinking about Thor the whole time you guys are having sex, by the way.
That's fine. I was thinking of Natalie Portman.
That's a baby making movie right there.
I guess it must be. Lenny, do you agree? Oh, we still got to do our review, Thor. But go ahead, Chuck. Continue your story about how maybe you got laid.
Oh, maybe? Okay, because the last time you did was like years ago.
I'm Columbo with Lenny Matlock, and Lee is Angela Lansbury. So let's get to the bottom of this.
Perry May.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. Go ahead, Charles. Dead air.
Okay. Sorry, no, you're breaking up. I can't tell if you're talking or not.
I'm going to break.
So after the movie, we went to Rock Bottom, and, you know, we just hung out for a little bit. We're talking. I was like, well, I'm not drinking. You're not drinking. Do you want to get out of here? And she's like, yeah, okay. So we left, and then we were walking, and I'm like, well, where do you want to go? And she's like, we can go to my place. And I'm like, okay, cool. So we got my car, drove over to her place, put on the Lady Gaga HBO special.
You got laid to the Lady Gaga special?
Well, it was in the other room. Like, we were making out in, like, the living room where the Lady Gaga was playing, and then we went to the bedroom.
Hey.
Chuck, was there a strap-on involved in this situation?
No strap-on, no anal beads, no nothing.
Don't we?
And there goes our famous audience.
Lenny, do you believe any of this story?
Well, you know what? The hardest part for me to swallow, no pun intended, is the sobriety part.
Yeah, what's up with that? Chuck, you don't drink anymore. How'd you get a chick in bed?
I don't need alcohol, guys.
You didn't liquor her up?
No.
Okay.
She had like maybe eight beer or two before.
You can say that.
No, hold on. How ugly is this chick? On a scale of like 1 to 10, we might as well just go 1 to 5 because there's no way she's past the 5. And
wait. Are we basing this on the Chicago scale, the Vegas scale, the Los Angeles scale, the Miami scale, the New York scale, or the international scale?
Lenny, if this was the Los Angeles or Vegas scale, she'd be a 1, I'm sure, even if she was a. We're going Chicago. So out of all the
you have way too much time on your hands.
Yeah, Lenny came up with that.
So go ahead, Chuck. What is she on the scale? Chicago scale, 1 to 10.
Okay, you know what? I don't know what the difference is between a Chicago and an LA and a Las Vegas and a Miami and a Tulsa, Oklahoma scale.
A fatty in Chicago will be a higher rating than a fatty in LA.
For sure.
No, well, let's put it this way: an 8 in Chicago is a 4 in Vegas.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. I'd say she's probably about a 7.
So she's a 3 in real life. Is that what we're saying here?
No, we're saying she's a 7.
So if that... Lenny has a bag of Ruffles over his head.
No, I was opening my garage door.
Oh, but if Lenny and I used our standards, she'd be a 3. Lenny and I
go. No, this coming from the man, Matt, who thinks every woman is Jewish. Every woman that walks by, I'm like, she's attractive.
there goes my career.
Here you go.
Here comes the career flush. Chuck, do you got to bring that up? I don't think every woman is Jew.
Well, why is it okay you can make fun of me and make shit up?
By the way, this whole
discussion...
This discussion is what we used to do in high school, like rate the girls in our class.
Oh, we've never gotten older than that, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
We've aged physically, but mentally, Lenny, Chuck, and I and our friends were still in high school.
Oh, no, this conversation happens every week at Gibson's and Carmine's. Exactly.
Right. What happens every week? I want to hear Chuck's version of this story.
Of what story?
What happens if you go out with me and Lenny? This happens every week. What happens? I want to hear your version.
At Gibson's and Carmine's.
Yeah, Gibson's and Carmine's. What happens?
Well, we'll get there. Them two will get drinks, and then they'll get like a big giant dessert, and they'll eat it and talk about how big of a fat asses they both are. then they get another drink. Then they go outside and smoke 18 cigarettes, and then they talk about how hot all the broads are. Then they talk about how they're going to talk to them. Then they go inside and have a sip of alcohol, and then go back out and have about 5 more cigarettes, and that usually happens for about 2 hours. And then we're standing outside, and an attractive girl walked by, and Matt's pickup line is, hey, ho, hey, ho, ho, hey, hey, ho, hello, hello, where are you going?
I don't see the problem.
I don't see the problem either, Lenny.
First of all, that sounds like a fucking fantastic time.
Thank you. Is that a good pickup line?
Yes, that is.
My favorite pickup line, I won't say which of our friends uses this out of 10 of our friends. I won't say who uses it. But my favorite pickup line is, I would walk a mile through her shit to see where it came from.
And then she goes, what? You go, haven't you ever seen Shawshank Redemption?
That's horrible.
All right, so Chucky, you got laid. You want to hear about Lenny and I's exciting weekend?
Yes.
On Friday, we went to Pat's boat. Lenny, I showed up, and Lenny was killing off with Mikey Fricano. It's not just Lenny. He's not an alcoholic or anything. They killed
off. It was
off,
his pre-bachelor party, though.
Okay, yes, it was a pre-bachelor party, so extreme circumstances. But Lenny drank a half a gallon of Jack Daniels.
Along with Mike.
By the time I got there, mind you. This was at like 7:30.
Good. Real considerate.
So we sit there for a while. Lenny's just talking to random strangers that come on the pier. He's like holding court. There's people like standing around him. He doesn't know who any of them are. They're all some like they're all Irish motherfuckers just standing around Lenny, listening to him tell stories. Yeah, they're just listening to this Italian guy tell stories. They're like, "Mom, it's like the movies." So then Lenny goes, "Maddie, where are we going to eat?" And I go, "I don't know." And Mikey's friend Doug kept saying, "Wendy's, Wendy's." Who the fuck wants to go to Wendy's? Lenny goes, "I'm dying for Castles." So we go to White Castles. It takes about 20 minutes to drive there, 25 minutes, because we took the – Fricano said it was a shortcut. I'm not too sure about it. On the way there, we were hitting on some women out a window, and I shouldn't really say we – because some people were not participating.
I shouldn't really say hitting. I was more like yelling things at them as they were walking.
Well, no, mind you, we had the attention of the one.
Yes, the hot blonde.
No. We had the brunette first, and if you got the brunette, you could get the blonde.
This tent.
Let me guess. Somebody stuck their head out the window and yelled, "Hey, Scott Hall, get over here."
No. Okay, maybe we did, but that's not the point.
No, but what happened was this blonde girl was in Vegas terms a 10. She was a 10 in Vegas, okay? She was hot.
She was a hooker.
Well, this brunette was like a 6 Vegas, okay? And but we knew, and Lenny knew, he explained his theory, and Lenny knew if we could get the brunette, we could get the blonde. And Lenny got the brunette's attention, but the blonde ended up driving off, and we lost the brunette, too.
No, let's rewind a couple seconds. The blonde didn't end up driving off. We all got the green arrow, and Matt, not choosing to follow them, took off before they even hit the gas pedal.
Look, we had a destination to be at, and I was doing my job. As
we did, but this could have been an easy detour.
Hey, you know what? What would have been more fun, banging that hot blonde and that decent brunette, or singing some Four Tops in the car? Okay.
Ooh.
Ooh.
We were singing some songs.
Banging the hot blonde, though, you could do that while eating White Castle burgers. Well,
there
you
was,
can't do singing the Four Tops.
Well, there was also a taxi cab.
You
that
can
was,
hum the Four Tops in your head while you're banging her.
With a mouthful of burgers?
No, it's not as fun.
Yeah. There was, George Costanza can do it.
There was a taxi cab full of women that we were also following for a while. That didn't lead anywhere. Then we were at a light at the same time as this minivan. And someone yells out the window, I don't remember who, hitting on this mother in the minivan. Now, what you can't see because the windows are tinted is she has kids in the back seat and an 80-year-old woman sitting next to her. Long story short, the 80-year-old grandma ends up flipping us the bird at some point. And this is all in one light. Like, you're sitting at...
Now, mind you, this is around midnight. She should have been in bed by then.
Yeah. So we finally get to White Castle. And we get to White Castle, and we go inside, and Lenny is staring at the menu. And he's tall, so he could literally touch everything on the menu. And he's literally pointing to every menu item going, two of these.
Oh, Lenny.
So Lenny gets this meal when we get this meal. And we all ordered like fat asses. We all got big meals. But it was just funny how he led the crew in and did the point to the menu.
Right.
So he ends up getting his bag. They had to give him a plastic bag to hold his two bags of food in.
Why didn't you just all split a Crave case?
We were talking about that, but Lenny's like,
I know, but they limit your selection on a Crave case. Like, they had the new A1 slider I wanted to try.
Try the chicken and the A1. And
yeah, he's got to get the A1. The we wanted the bacon and ranch. We wanted.
They had the bacon and the ranch, which was great.
Right, right, right. So we needed to get our specialized order. At this point, Pat and I are outside having a cigarette. Now, I don't know what happened inside, and I need to get this story settled. Inside are Mike Fricano, Len, and Doug. Someone, okay, this Indian broad and her daughter walk outside and shoot Pat and I the dirtiest looks ever. We did nothing. We don't know what happened. We don't know why she was. She shot us to look like we killed Allah, okay, or whatever. And I walk inside and I go, dude, why did Pat and I just get fucked off by this Indian broad? It turns out someone said to someone else that they suck dick. And their 5-year-old daughter walked over.
No. Someone said you like the way the dick tastes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, all right.
I'm sorry that I cleaned it up.
Yeah, right.
You like the way the dick tastes. And this 5-year-old daughter walks over to her
not
mother.
Not at the girl. We were saying it to each other. Unaware of a 5-year-old.
Okay. Right. But point of the story is, 5-year-old girl hears it, walks over to her mother and goes, Mom, what does dick taste like?
No way.
Yes way.
That's
true story.
Get out of here.
Totally way, and that's why Pat and I totally understood then why we got the look of death and we were fine with it.
I would be more shocked than embarrassed that thing that happens in, like, cartoons and TV shows. Like, Mommy, what's an asshole?
No, that happens when we go out. When Lenny and the guys and I and Chuck and when we all go out, it is like the movies. I can't explain it to you any other way.
So you guys just get legendary?
Lenny, Chuck, how many people walk up to us and go, I feel like I'm in a movie?
Oh, that night at Richard's, at least 12.
At least?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, every
including a bunch of Irish people who wanted to take a picture of us and were cheering and chanting.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, and they were literally off the boat.
So we leave White Castle, and we go back to the harbor because Lenny forgot his shoes. He had sandals, but he wanted to put on his shoes. So
flip-flops. They weren't even sandals.
Whatever. We drive to the harbor, and we're singing more tunes. We got the 80s tunes going. We got the Motown going. We get out of the car, and I guess there's video proof of this on Patrick Stefano's phone. But I guess the four of us were singing in the parking lot pretty loudly. And there were this huge group of Mexicans that were parking cars for this event that was going on.
Okay.
And I guess they were watching.
Okay.
So that was fun. And then we went to a bar, and what do you know? They're playing oldies music at the bar. So I'm outside smoking for an hour. Lenny goes, Matt, the song we were just singing is on inside right now. I go inside. They play like 12 songs in a row we're all jamming to.
Now, mind you, there's 6 people in the bar, including the bartender, the busboy, the waitress, and 3 patrons,
yes.
Plus us.
That's
yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Man, I gotta come out with you guys in fucking Taiwan on.
I was telling.
No, the thing is, when we first got into the bar, there was 100 people. After we got in, there was a clearing out.
Yeah, we cleared it out. I think I talked to Lenny and Chuck about this before.
What was the song?
There's one of which song was it? Tears of a Clown.
Tears of a Clown. That's it.
Tears of a Clown. Which is a great.
We were trying to do Platoon.
Yes, we were. Well, I think we were doing Platoon minus all the Vietnam. But I've talked to Lenny and Chuck about this before. We get one or two reactions when people outside of our group hang out with us. They either want us then hang out with us all the time and they check in with us all the time and it's on Facebook.
Or
all
said
the time.
This is a once-a-year event.
Right, or they go, I can do this once a year, but no more. It's too much. It's like
hurts my feelings.
Some people, yeah, it's a little.
And
hurt.
They think we all hate each other.
Oh well, we all motherfuck each other awfully.
Oh yeah. It's bad.
It's like,
so, what do you got? Does like someone pass out and you draw?
Hold
dicks
on, we
them?
Got a couple phone calls. Let's see who's calling. Hello.
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 Who do we got here?
Well, he's known as Jelly in some places, but that's all right.
Oh, God, it's Turzo.
It's Mikey Turzo.
That it is.
How you guys doing? It's Mike Turzo. I've been long.
wait. So we're in the movie theater on Sunday, about to see Thor, and Mike's a big guy like me, and I'm sitting in the chair. Mike's sitting next to me. Mike comes up with all this food, and then he looks at me and goes, "Lenny, these arms don't go up on the
fingers."
But Lenny, yeah, Turzo was gone ordering food for like 20 minutes.
We waited in line for 20 minutes, and he wasn't even back.
Yeah. So, yeah, as you said, though, Lenny, so Turzo shows up with this bucket of food.
Two buckets of food, actually.
What happens with the seats?
So then he's sitting down. He's looking at the seats like he's contemplating life, right? And then he turns and looks at me, and he's like, "Oh, Lenny, the arms on these chairs don't go up?" He's like, "I don't know, I'm going to do this." So he sits in one seat. He's like, "This don't feel right. Let's try this seat." So he tries three seats to try and fit in the good seat.
Lenny, it was hysterical. Lenny and Mikey, you got to admit it. How bad did it look when Mikey had to squeeze out of the first seat? Like, we thought.
It was funny. I lost it right there.
I was thinking about. I mean, it was bad. The Crisco came to mind. Vaseline. It was.
Crisco?
No joke. The first seat he got out of, I'm like, "Lenny, we may have to break that chair."
Well, when you hit 350 pounds, not a lot of seats fit your ass. That's actually why I'm a Sox fan instead of a Cubs fan, because I can't fit in any of the seats in Wrigley Field.
Well, you're
are much more forgiving in Sox Park.
Yeah, he's the first person that's chosen a baseball team over how fat he is. But my other funny thing about Mikey was, so we get to the movie theater, and Lenny and I always get movie food. We get pretzels, or we get corn, or we get some candy, whatever, right? And Mikey's like, "Hey, guys, it's Sunday. Why aren't we going to a restaurant? We need to go eat out.
Fair question.
So I guess now every Sunday before the movies, we got to go actually eat.
Sunday dinner, man. Come on.
That's
Italian?
What he was saying. We're Italian.
Yeah. What about
it's Sunday tradition.
But this isn't going to contribute to this seat issue at all. I mean, you think they're small now?
Well, we might just have to switch theaters after some time here.
Oh, no, not leave the quarry. I am a Stubbs member.
Third time this evening that came up.
Oh, by the way, while we're on the subject, this wonderful location that we have for this at the quarry, I am falling at last to find good Italian restaurants in the area.
Yeah, because there are none.
I figured that. Len, do you have any idea where I can find one? Because
no,
there is
one on Joliet Road called JC's Pub.
That's not bad.
Yeah, JC's Pub. There's one across the street. I forgot the name of it. It's like right next to the parking lot across from the quarry. They got really good food. It's right next to the OTB.
Salerno.
Yeah, that's Salerno's. It's horrible. That's Salerno's is horrible.
Salerno's is good. It's a lot better than JC Pub. JC Pub
is phenomenal.
That's Salerno's is shit on a shingle.
Tuning in, we've lost the control of the show to Italians who are arguing about food.
Sorry, I had to gain control back. We're all fighting over restaurants.
Salerno.
What about Lido's? Lido's. Can't we all agree on Lido's?
Isn't that a pizza joint?
Yeah, but it's I'm sorry.
I don't know if I've been there.
I've never been there yet, I don't think. But, Mikey, you've been
to Lido's.
With me.
Yeah, I've been there. It's like a pizza place with a dining room. It's not really a...
Good meatball sandwiches.
I mean, I guess I'm looking for like a Piccolo Sonio in the suburbs, but I'm having trouble. It's giving me agita.
Ever since you ate that fucking rabbit 2 weeks ago, everything we use Piccolo de Sono.
That was very
good.
Like
became a food snob.
Don't get on the
rabbit.
You guys got to get in the city for the good food.
Now everything with him is, I had rabbit 2 weeks ago. I need to find that out in LaGrange, Hotchkins. The only way you eat rabbit at
Hotchkins
is to cook it yourself.
Yeah, you got to skin it, plug it. You got to plug it with your musket.
Right. The only way you're eating rabbit is when you run over it.
Wow. Is someone in their car?
Mikey, it's going to take you 10 minutes to get out of your car. I know it. Because you probably got one of those bad cars from the dealership that you barely fit into.
Pretty much.
What Honda Pilot are you driving today?
No, actually, I have the lesbian special, otherwise known as the Subaru Outback.
The lesbian special. The Subaru Outback.
Sounds like it comes with hummus on the side.
Oh, it's humming, but there's no must.
All right, so since we got Mikey and Len on the show right now, let's do our Thor review. Guys, what'd you think?
Okay. Yeah, it's a good character development. I like the blonde guy they got to play Thor, but it wasn't a whole lot going other than some kissing and the end of the movie.
Well, I talked.
Yeah, they didn't need the romantic aspect at all.
When we were talking to Bruce and Brett, I was saying I thought it was kind of boring.
Yeah.
All these movies are essentially just lining up for the Avengers. That's it.
Yeah, and I'm a little bored by it.
It's like six years for this movie.
Yeah.
And like
yeah.
I said, the Avengers might end up being an Expendables.
Well, you know that Bridesmaids is getting good reviews. Maybe we'll have a better time with that.
You probably will.
Maybe it beats a good bacalao at the show, huh?
A good bacalao. Are you getting all spacconi on me here?
Yeah.
What?
Is Caesar rubbing his temple right now?
Not yet. About 5 seconds.
He's got his finger on it.
Two. One.
No.
No, he's not rubbing his temple yet. It's after.
Okay.
It'll come soon.
All right.
Here, I know how to get Caesar to rub his temple.
So your review of Thor is over.
Let's talk about the Jews.
No.
There we go.
Let's talk about how they're all secretly black.
Oh, God. Oh, this show's getting kicked.
Yeah, right. No, that's not.
So, Mikey, where would you want to go eat when we go to the movies this weekend?
Well, you know, I know it's a little bit out of the way.
Oh, here we
but
go.
But what I was thinking was is I really would like to go to Gaetano's in Forest Park.
If I need a fucking treasure map to get to this place, Mikey...
He's from Sicily. He makes his own pasta. Everything's fresh. It's very good. Len, you ever been to Gaetano's in Forest Park?
Where's it at in Forest Park?
Who's been to Forest Park?
It's on Madison Avenue.
You know, we're going to go to a movie in LaGrange. Let's go to Rockford. I know this great Italian place.
Is that Chuck trying to make fun of us?
That was Chuck.
Yeah, that's Chuck trying to make fun of us.
He was doing his turn.
I specialize in ordering in restaurants, okay? It's one of my professions. I enjoy doing it. And I figure I'm fairly good at it.
Oh.
What was the joint you took me to in Roselle?
Roselle?
The Roselle? For a...
not Roselle. Wheaton.
You think it was Rosie with Wheaton? No, Songs of the Abarella.
When we went to Wheaton, that was a good joint.
Wasn't it?
That was a good joint. Those two lesbian broads, the one hot one that was serving us.
Yeah, and then that other one that you think's kind of hot, but you're not sure.
Oh, wait. Are we not supposed to say they're lesbian, though? They're not out of the closet.
No, they're not out of the closet, but I doubt they listen.
Secret's out now.
Yeah, real smooth.
Hey, we just won't mention names.
No.
Yeah, we won't mention names like... no, never mind.
Yeah.
But, no, that was a good joint, though. But isn't that where you, me, and Lenny got way too drunk on the rooftop drinking Johnny Walker Gold?
Yes.
Okay. And then I ended up at Meijer driving around in a handicap shopping cart. That's
well,
how I got tonight.
Yeah, what is it with you and these big retail outlets at 2 in the morning?
Hey, I like going to retail outlets at 2 in the morning. I like going. When you go to Meijer at 2 in the morning, you got the store at your feet. They got like 10 people working there and no one else there. They're all there for you. The store is yours for the taking.
So come on down to Meijer. 12 locations.
12 locations.
That was like an ad, like a blue-collar ad.
So here's the problem. Lenny's got the wedding this weekend, and I don't get invited to weddings. And you know what I say about that? Good. But Lenny's got the wedding this weekend, so he can't hang out tomorrow night. He can't hang out Saturday night. So Mikey and I now got to find something to do this weekend.
Oh, we'll find something.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
You're going to be in the burbs. Enjoy.
You know what, Len? We should go out at least tomorrow when you got that rehearsal dinner. Terzo and I should go to Gibson's in Rosemont, and we should meet you there after the dinner.
We could do that.
Yeah, well, Johnny Fontarelli is the guy over at Gibson's in Rosemont. We'll go see him.
Hey.
He almost sounds like Fonzie Fonzarelli.
Yeah, right. Arthur Fonzarelli.
Arthur Fonzarelli. What is... Two are in a garage.
What are they doing?
I don't know. Charles.
I'm eating.
Charles.
Yes.
Lenny, what are you eating?
chicken kebab.
Okay, can we get back to the Thor, though? Were there any hot women in Thor?
The founder of Zany's died.
We need to get our Chicago's Film Society critics badges here. Are there any hot women in Thor?
Hey, the founder of Zany's died.
Yeah,
Rick,
I read about that earlier. Now, I read about that earlier. Someone from Zany's died. The founder?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I'm not allowed back there anyways, I don't think.
No.
So, in my mind, I say adios. Thanks. Even though he didn't ban me, the founder of Zany's,
yeah.
I'm sure he was a good guy.
Who was it?
Isn't Bob Zany? But Bob Zany's not the founder? Lenny, who's the founder of Zany's?
Like I would know.
No.
Well, apparently he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
Mr. Uquat. Oh, God, that's a name just meant for comedy.
Yeah.
It looks like...
Boy.
Yeah, it looks real bad.
Looks like a bad Scrabble hand.
Rick Uquat. Yeesh. I would have changed that name the first thing I did when I got in the comedy business.
You think he's Jewish?
Probably. You know, Caesar just wrote me a note saying that we're turning into the Food Network podcast.
I'm fine with that.
I'm sorry.
The fact that I can hear you eating on the air, Lenny, with your mouth open.
No, you...
Yeah, I
can. No, you can't.
That's classy.
All that happens...
He's hungry.
But all that happens from producer Caesar's point of view on this show is...
Are we going to hear you taking a shit next?
Hey.
You might.
That's some good radio.
Yeah.
Right. Lenny will be on the Twitter on the shitter.
That's the name of my blog.
Shitter?
Twitter on the shitter.
Shitter on the
Twitter
shitter.
On the shitter.
So, you know, Caesar's always given me, like, notes during the show, producer Caesar. He's always giving me notes. And now we're the Food Network of blogs. I don't know what that means.
Go ahead.
Someone putting their phone like in their asshole.
What? Someone eating their phone?
Oh, maybe it's Charles.
No, I'm not. Really, I'm not even eating now. Now I think it's just static.
Okay.
Charles,
yeah, static.
Did you pass out on your phone?
One of you sounds
no,
like.
No, but I'm wondering why I haven't hung up yet.
Oh, back to Charles getting laid. So, what happens when you're in bed with this broad? Get to it.
What happens is I put on a condom and then my penis goes into her vagina.
Oh, God. I wasn't asking for that, Charles.
We didn't want all the detail.
Oh.
Well, then what the hell did you want me to say?
What moves did you use? Did you go to the old playbook? Did you get a little kinky? Are we talking whips?
Are we talking
handcuffs?
Lights on, lights off. You a top or bottom?
Thank you. Lee.
Lights off. I was on top and bottom, and she liked the dirty talk.
What was some of the dirty talk you used? See, you left this good part out.
This is the most high school show we've ever done.
No, what? This is totally true. This is a John Hughes podcast right now.
Yeah, really.
This is a John Hughes podcast. Okay, Chuck, what was the dirty talk you used? I want to hear this.
Well, she was saying, like, oh, you're making me wet, and oh, I'm wet, and oh, I want your cock, and...
Oh, now this really is getting high school. You're laughing like fucking 12-year-old virgins over here. Fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Why? This is so funny.
Chuck, I don't know why they're laughing so hard.
Well, Matt's only laughing because he hasn't gotten laid in like 3 years.
Now that's funny.
Oh,
podcast? Is a John Hughes podcast? Am I Uncle Buck?
Yeah. Matt laughs like a
please. And Lenny's Del Griffith?
Yeah, right. Matt
laughs. I hope no one listens to this podcast.
Oh, Chuck, tell everyone what happened when we went to that party Saturday or Friday.
For those of you listening, Matt laughs like a delighted leprechaun.
All right, Chuck, what happens when you go to this party?
What party?
The party you told me about where everyone was asking you about anal beads.
Oh, no, I just went to my buddy's house. We were, like, you know, little barbecue, and as soon as I walked in, like, three people looked at me because I put something on Facebook, and they're like, what's with you with anal beads and trailer parks? And I'm like, oh, God, and I had to explain it to them.
You're making me wet.
Oh, God. So immature.
No one with class will come on this show.
Nope.
There goes the Peter.
You know what? Next time you call me, I swear I'm not picking up.
No, yes, you are. You have a good time on this show, and you're going to be known one day as the Playboy of Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Mikey, you get laid this weekend?
Yeah. What? No. I told you. Iowa.
Oh.
The land of cows on two legs.
Cows on two legs. And there goes our one Iowa listener.
Well, look, I've never been covered in so much fat girl sweat in my life.
Oh, yeah, I saw the fat girl sweat in your hair on Sunday night. It was keeping it. It was holding your hair up pretty well.
Oh.
Why isn't Molly Ringwald on this show today?
I would love to have Molly Ringwald on this show.
She needs to be sitting right there right now.
Right there.
Talking
yeah.
a little dirty.
Right.
Oh, wait, someone's calling from a 310 area code. Oh, we lost him.
It's all right.
It was probably just someone famous. Don't worry about it.
Hold on. 310. Oh, isn't that Detroit?
No, 310 is L.A.
Oh.
It was probably
California,
just,
yeah.
It was Tom Cruise or something. He won't get us any ratings. Who cares? People much rather listen to us. Lee, what do you got for us this week while the guys are on the phone?
I'll do it with the guys on the phone.
Yeah, do it with the guys on the phone. This is interesting. Lenny, I kind of want Lenny's opinion on this,
right.
So do please.
This they printed in the UK Guardian today, and they, you know, this I had to check this and fact check it and cross reference it several times to make sure that it was real and it was not a gag. It's Osama bin Laden's diary, and I want you to read this. Has almost nothing to do with politics or terrorism and everything to do with how bored he is. He's like a little teenage girl. I'm going to read this for you now. There's enough of this that we can do this next week. So it's going to be a little feature, all right? This is, by the way, this is funnier than anything I could write, and this is real. This is Osama bin Laden's real diary. Here we go.
The fatwa.
August 14th, 2009. Watched TV for a few hours to see if there were any stories about me. Nothing today. I did see that temptress Sarah Palin on CNN, though, practically naked as usual, wrists showing, ankles, hair, everything. Oddly enough, she was talking about death panels. I have always advocated them as a quick and efficient way to punish people for stealing fruit or shaving. But she seemed very dismissive of the idea. At one point, she actually said Obama's death panels instead of Osama's death panels, but the interviewer didn't pick up on her mistake. Stupid woman.
Wow. One more because I want to save the rest for the upcoming weeks, too.
January 19th, 2010. Spent the morning planning new attacks on major American population centers. You have to keep yourself busy in a place like this, otherwise you'll go mad. We need to stage more mass killings. Lots of small killings will do nothing to change U.S. policy. They have small killings almost every day there. I doubt they would even notice. Also, I'm big on trains these days and attacking on dates sacred to Americans. July 4, Madonna's birthday, the Vanity Fair Oscar party, Lindsay Lohan court appearance, etc. To paraphrase those fat cooks from BBC, it's time to take the killing to the next level.
What do you guys think of this? Is this a joke or what?
It has to be.
Someone pulled up a very good joke.
I don't know. I was looking up. I checked it out.
These are Osama's diaries.
Let me read this real quick. Very tired today. Stayed up last night with friends arguing about whether or not dishwashers were blasphemous.
Oh, I like that. You told me about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be a prank.
Wow.
It's got to be. But I love it so much we're going to read them for weeks.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be a segment, Osama's Diary.
Lenny, before I close out the show, why don't you let me know how you felt about Osama's death? And Mikey, Chuck, you can add in too.
Oh, my God. I'm actually on the UK Guardian website. Bin Laden's recently discovered diaries gave us unique insight into his politics, TV viewing habits, and hair care regime.
It is unique insight. I guarantee that.
It can't be real. I can't buy it. But me,
I'm just impressed he knows who Lindsay Lohan is.
He is.
What happened to that dashing, smoky-eyed, full-lipped fellow?
Yes. Don't read it all. We're going to read it in future weeks.
But it's Mikey made a good point. He's impressed he even knows who Lindsay Lohan is.
Yes.
I just want to imagine how Osama's seen Mean Girls.
Yeah.
I just want to.
No, get this.
Hey, all you with the fatwa, get in here. We're watching Mean Girls.
Yeah, we watched them in.
Oh, that's so fetch. You so fetch, Omer. Omer, you and your friends, you so fetch. hey Chuck, I need you to go tell Jesse White that you do this show and give him copies of it, okay?
No. actually maybe it'll do me some good and they'll fire me.
Or maybe they'll promote you. Maybe it'll be like one of those weird sitcoms. Like one of those weird sitcoms where the guy tries to get fired but he gets promoted to like boss.
No, I'm pretty sure if they heard this they'd fire me. They would be like, you and your friends are idiots.
But you know what else this episode reminds me of since Katie Rose was out this week? It reminded me, it was like John Hughes meets the Rat Pack. And I'm not saying we're the Rat Pack, but I'm just saying a couple fat Italian guys.
The Brat Pack meets the Rat Pack.
Yeah, it's like the Brat Pack meets the Rat Pack. This was fun.
Although, judging by some of you guys out there, you sound like the Brat Pack.
Wait, we do have one more.
Oh, that was a shot at me and you, Mike.
That was a little bit. That was a little bit, Len.
Okay,
I have to
sit
on hold for 5 minutes just to pull me through.
Who's calling? Adam, is that you?
Hello?
Who's calling?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hey, it's Maury.
You don't know what you're talking about. Producer Caesar always tells me how much time's left in the show, even though it's like right in front of my face, and he's always wrong by like minutes.
Thank you.
I'm like, you know, I think I know what I'm doing.
Matthew, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hey, this is Maury calling from Skokie.
Oh, God.
Maury, I got to let you go.
Yeah.
Next time, buddy.
If you want to be a fake Jew, next time you need to sound a little more like Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Oi.
Oi vey.
Alaheim. I'll see you later.
All right. Everybody go. Everyone get out of here now. Lenny, I'll talk to you tomorrow, Thurzo.
I'll see you guys later.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Ciao.
I don't know why Chuck keeps calling. He's the greatest ever, right? Am I wrong?
Well, on here, something's wrong with his phone because one of them on there sounds
Someone was in the bathroom. Someone was in the garage burying bodies.
Someone
was in Dexter's garage.
Someone sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher.
Real quick, we got 2.5 minutes left. Lee, I know you got a show coming up. Do you want to plug it?
It's going to be Friday the 20th. It's at a bar called Morseland in Rogers Park. It's a benefit show. It starts around 10. It should be a fun time.
Okay, well, I am going to close out the show just a little bit early tonight because what do I feel like? We got to play something before we leave. All right.
Yeah. Lane.